Blog Talk Radio.
Most gracious and most heavenly Father, it is in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we come on this beautiful day, Father, to magnify your holy and your righteous name, thanking you for a brand new day, thanking you for divine protection and provisions as we slept and we slumbered. Thank you, Father God, that we rise this morning at your command, Father, embracing the gifts of a brand new day and rejoicing in this day that you have made. Father God, as we come, we want to confess every sin of omission and every sin of commission, Father, and we ask that you will squash every satanic agenda, plot, plan, scheme, ploy, and contract that Satan has set up to come against us and our families and our destinies and our possessions. And we bless you and we say thank you for your faithfulness unto us. Father, we place our faith in you and in you alone. All power belongs to you. So we bless you today, Father. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, a host of angels, the power of your word and the word of your power. We thank you for an open heaven. We thank you for eternal life. And we thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to move forward in your kingdom doing the work of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, as you taught your disciples to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our soul says amen. Amen and amen again. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Top of the morning to you and welcome back to the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Mentoring Kingdom Leadership, where Jesus Christ is Lord. I am Apostle Dr. Alfreda, amen. And I am your kingdom coach. I am your host on this day, amen. As we lift up the name of Jesus higher and higher and higher, 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 and higher. Amen, amen, and amen. We want to thank each and every one of you for being here with us on today. And we want you to know that this is a platform where we meet 7 days a week. Amen. Do you believe that? Well, it's true. It's true. Amen. 7 days a week. And we've been doing this for years, for years, for years. For years, 10 years, 12 years, 13 years, 14 years, every day. Amen. And we continue to go forward. Amen. In the strength and in the might of the Lord. All right, all right, all right, all right. We want to bless the Lord. Amen. We want to pick up where we left off on yesterday. Amen. I want to turn your attention to the book of Mark. Amen. Chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11, and let us begin reading in verse number 12, and it reads like this. It says, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. Glory be to God. And this is the blessed word of God. Amen. For the blessed people of God. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes, and we've entitled this particular teaching, amen, don't get God angry and get thrown out of the church, evicted from the church, evicted from the church. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Beloved, amen. And Jesus is still on the way to the cross. Holy Week, these are his last 5 days. We saw where he entered into Jerusalem on the donkey. Palm Sunday, crowd celebrating him, rejoicing, because they was under their understanding, because they had a lack of understanding. They thought that Jesus was going to be a political uprising, and they was rejoicing in that moment. So here we are. We saw that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, he just didn't sit around and wait for something to happen. Jesus was not the type of person to sit around and wait for something to happen. He would go and make something happen, because that's the definition of faith. Faith without works is dead. Jesus was a game changer. He was a mover and a shaker. So we saw on yesterday where Jesus cursed the fig tree. And we went into details of why he did and what was the significance of that and the lesson that we could learn from that. Today, beloved, we see where Jesus, amen, enters into the temple, okay, the church, yeah. Jesus went into the church, glory be to God. And the Bible tells us in our scripture that when Jesus entered the courts, the temple courts, he began driving out those who was buying and selling there. Jesus threw him out. Jesus threw him out the church. He didn't call for no backup. He didn't call 911. He didn't call for no security. Jesus threw them out the church. The Bible says Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Can you imagine? Jesus was over there flipping tables over. Good Googa Mooga. And not only was Jesus flipping the tables over, it says, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. Jesus said, not in here. Jesus said, not in here. You're in the wrong place. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Money changers and merchants did big business during Passover. Passover was their holiday, such as the merchants in our time. We know the merchants know around Easter, they're going to make some money. Especially back in the day. I don't know how much money they're making now, because a lot of people don't really go through all that, you know, new clothes, new shoes, new pocketbook stuff. Christmas time, if you saved or not saved, merchants know they're going to make some money. There's certain holidays during the year when, depending on the type of business you're in, you're going to make some money. Car dealers know they're going to make money at the end of the year. See? Beauticians know they're going to make money anytime, but especially like special days. Mother Day, oh, that's another day. When Mother's Day coming, now Father's Day is at the bottom of the totem pole, but Mother's Day, folk, them restaurants know they're going to make money. Hallmark know they're going to make money on them cards. See? So depending on what type of business you in, there's certain businesses where they just know they're going to make money. Well, during Passover here, see, the merchants knew that they was going to do big business over Passover because this is when the crowd came. This is when everybody traveled near and far. It was the big thing, okay? The same way nowadays, let me see, the one thing that people are still doing, New Year's Eve, old folks traveling to New York, they're going to watch the ball drop. People done traveled miles on miles, thousands on thousands to watch a ball drop, right? That's another conversation, okay? But, beloved, amen, the people was going to be there. See? And so this was the Passover. This is why Jesus chose to go into Jerusalem on the Passover on Palm Sunday, because he knew he would find a crowd. He was going to find more than two or three people. People who came from foreign countries had to have their money exchanged into temple currency because this was the only money accepted for the temple tax and for the purchase of sacrificial animals. See, because people was buying their animals because they had to sacrifice their animals. Why? Because this was Passover. Oh, this was big money here. This wasn't no little five and dime type exchange. We talking about big stock money here. This is big stuff. Often, the inflated exchange rate enriched the money changers, and the exorbitant prices of animals made the merchants wealthy. Y'all know how they do. Y'all saw what happened during COVID. Because now, I wasn't the only one. Some of y'all paid $20 for a can of Lysol, too. That same $2, $3 thing of Lysol, we was out there paying $20 for it. And that wasn't the only thing. They was doubling up, tripling up on everything. It was, like, really ridiculous. And they knew that stimulus money was being circulated. And they was trying to get a piece of your money. Glory be to God. This is what was happening here at the Passover. See, the little sheep that they used, they would normally sell for $5. They were selling it for $50. They said exorbitant. The Bible don't say how much, but it got Jesus' attention. It was too much. Whatever they was charging, it was too much. Glory, it was really extravagant. It was excessive. They became rich. You know how the water ice people go to Rita's and all those other water ice people, they go to Florida, they close down during the winter. And they in Florida all winter. While you wrapped up in your winter coat, they in Florida on the beach. Spending all the money they done made during the summer. Yeah, okay. It made them wealthy. Their stalls were set up in the temple's court of the Gentiles, making it but impossible for non-Jews to spend any time in worship. And Jesus became angry. Say, what? Yeah, Jesus became angry, but he did not sin. Now, let's just get this straight. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 26 says this, be angry and sin not. Anger is a natural emotion. The same way you get happy, the same way you cry, the same way you laugh, you get angry. Jesus was 100% human, 100% man, and 100% divine. Jesus had emotions. That's why Jesus wept when Lazarus died. Huh? And here we see another side of Jesus, okay, when Jesus became angry. Beloved, let me stop right here to let you know that there is a place for righteous indignation. Christians are right to be upset about sin and injustice and should take a stand against them. Martin Luther King, walking in peace. He said, no violence. Huh? No violence. We ought to be angry. We see our senior citizens taking advantage of. Oh, no, we angry. We see our babies taking advantage of. We angry. Murder and carjacking and everything else that goes on around us. Oh, no, we angry. We ain't lying. We angry. And we saved. It's called righteous indignation. You're supposed to be angry. Thing that gets you the most, that draws the most anger in you, is a hint to what God has called you to. That's a hint to your destiny and your purpose in life. When something really gets you angry, maybe God is calling you to that area. Maybe when it makes you angry to see people starve, it makes you angry, or maybe God is calling you to that area. That's another subject and another teaching for another day. So, yes, we get angry as Christians. Jesus got angry as the Son of God. Jesus didn't sin, and neither should we. See, oh, yeah, we angry because you aborting babies, but we ain't going down there and kill the doctor like some people did. No. See, no. You don't cross the line now. This is not righteous indignation, because righteous indignation does not sin. And we read about it all the time when they was protesting at the abortion clinics. All right, well, okay, we understand. Righteous indignation. Babies are being killed in the womb. But now for you to go down there and kill the doctor. When he get off work, you just as guilty as the folks that was doing the abortion. You just as guilty. The blind can't lead the blind. Unfortunately, beloved, believers are often passive about these important issues. They get upset about personal insults and petty irritations. So we have to make sure that our anger is directed toward the right issues. Jesus was angry. Jesus said, what y'all doing up in here, beloved? Hallelujah. Jesus, the merchants and the money changers had set up their booths in the court of the Gentiles in the temple. They was crowding out the Gentiles that had come from all over the world to worship God. The merchants were selling sacrificial animals at high prices. They was taking advantage of those who had come long distance. The money changers exchanged all international currency for the special temple coins. And the only money the merchants will, which was the only money they will accept. You know, it's like, you'll take credit card. No, we don't take no credit card. No, cash only. Y'all do Cash App? No, nope, no Cash App. Yeah, can I write y'all a check? No. Cash only, baby. And it got to be our cash. You got to exchange that money. Well, Jesus said, oh, Jesus was mad for a reason, beloved. They often deceived foreigners who didn't know the exchange rates, like they got over on me years ago when I went to Jamaica. I didn't have a clue. If something cost $20 Jamaica, I was giving them $20 American money. Boy, I tell you, they got over on me. I didn't know. See, because really, $20 American, Jamaican money is probably like about $2 in American money. So they made big money off of me, and they do it off of anybody else who don't know. They don't know the exchange rate of money. That's why it's good to study that before you go on vacation. See? And this is what was happening here. See? They was just getting over on folks. Their commercialism in God's house frustrated people's attempt at worship, and it angered Jesus. Any practice that interferes with worshiping God should be stopped. People coming to church, trying to come to church to meet God, trying to come to church to have a good service, huh? But you want to do business. You know, some people only go to church to do business. That's why the big church is so big. See? They ain't there to find God. They there to do business. They trying to get a contract. They trying to write an insurance contract. See, you know what I mean? You do real estate. You trying to get some business. You go over here to the big church. Huh? I sell a little Avon. Whatever it is, you're there to do business. The people there trying to do God, serve God. You interfering. Well, if they can't even sit next to you and hear a word because you want to slide them a business card and get the QR code and have a conversation about business, and the Lord said, the Lord threw them out. The Lord threw them out the church. Can you imagine that? He said, no, you don't. The reason that Jesus became so angry is he said, my house should be called a place, should be a house of prayer, a place of worship, a place with, but let me tell you something. You want to know what makes the church so special? The church is a spiritual hospital. It's a hospital for sick people. The same way you take people to the hospital, the emergency ward in your neighborhood when people get sick physically, the church is supposed to be the place that you take people for spiritual healing. It's a spiritual hospital. But folks can't get in to see the doctor because you at the door trying to cut a deal. And want people to taste a little bit of your chocolate. I made these cookies last night. Doing business in the church. Hey, come over here because we selling dinners. All right, same old $10 dinner. You selling for $40. Huh? Jesus said, enough of this foolishness. He said, the reason Jesus had got so angry is true worship was no longer evident. It had disappeared. No true worship. And Jesus threw everybody out. This was the second time that Jesus did. This is not the first time. Let's look at the first time when Jesus threw people out the church. When he started throwing the tables over. And no, he wasn't drunk. Glory be to God. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't play games. See, Jesus was a little radical. See? Y'all know I'm a little radical myself. I call myself raw and righteous. Jesus was a little radical. Huh? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God is a God of wrath. We look at that side of God where God is love. Oh, God is love. Yeah, God is love, baby, but God is wrath too. And the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Look at St. John chapter number 2, okay, and let us go down to verse number 13, and this is what it reads. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the temple. Glory be to God. And verse numbers, seven, overthrew the temple. Okay, and verse number 16, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples, and let me see now, in verse 17, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. That was the first time Jesus threw him out the church. He didn't just throw the money, but they said that he was even the cash register that was holding the money. Jesus threw that on the floor. Jesus didn't care nothing about no money. That was the first time Jesus threw him out. Here in our scripture today, we see where Jesus did it again. Well, beloved, please don't make Jesus do it a third time. Don't get thrown out the church. Don't get evicted from the church. Don't get God angry and throw you out the church because you're going to church for the wrong reason. You're going to church to try to cut a business deal. You're going to church to try to catch a husband. You're going to church for this. You interfering with those who come to church for the real reason. I hear T.D. Jakes, I listen to him every now and then, and I listen to other ministers every now and then. I have my favorite ones, the ones that I really, really get fed by. Then I have some other ones as I'm flipping through the channels. But I hear them all say, they know that people come to that church, amen, to cut a business deal. That's the wrong reason to come to church. That's the wrong reason to go to church. You got to wait until, amen, they have certain, the pastor dictates, okay, this is going to be entrepreneur night. You got to wait to the appropriate time. You're not supposed to be flowing through no crowd trying to cut a business deal. When people have come to church to worship, and then you got the nerve to get angry with them. Well, Jesus said, okay, Jesus wasn't having it, beloved. Hallelujah. And Jesus threw him out the church. Beloved, the Bible tells us, let's just read this. Hallelujah. And our scripture, let's go back to our scripture. I just want to show you this here, Mark 11. Mark chapter number 11. Okay, let's start in verse number 17. Okay. And Jesus said, amen. Hallelujah. It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. But wait a minute. Before I was going to close on that note, but I think I want to share something else with you before I close on that note. But I want to give you some scriptures for your Bible students to show you where God's house should be called the house of prayer. There's only one reason we go to church. It's only one reason. It's only one reason not to show off your clothes, not to do this, not to do that. No. We come to pray. We come to get the word. Amen. We come to fellowship. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Even in Jeremiah chapter number 7, verse 11. Now, this is Old Testament. That's the Old and the New Testament. Jesus didn't come to break the law, beloved. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Anybody who tells you that the Old Testament is no longer relevant, amen, needs to be taught. They have a misunderstanding of scriptures. That book from Genesis to Revelation is still relevant in today, and it will always be relevant. Jeremiah 7 and 11 says, has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Yes, I too have seen it, declares the Lord. Woo! Look at Isaiah 56 and 7. I will bring them to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Beloved, you know what? Look at this. Look at this. Look. I'm going to show you. Look at this scripture. Luke 19:46. He declared to them, it is written, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And we know, beloved, if we tell the truth, whole bunch of stuff going on in our churches today but prayer. But prayer. We haven't prayer. Well, everything but prayer. Now, well, there's nothing wrong with concerts, I guess, and the other stuff that's going on. Beloved, everything is done, amen, decent and in order. But we know that in most churches, prayer is at the bottom of the list. Bottom. 5 minutes worth of prayer. I grew up at a time, beloved, amen, it was nothing for us to do all night prayer. I still do all night prayer. I just don't do it in a crowd. I thought about it even once a month as we have our praise parties, amen, taking some of that into the wee hours, amen, and let us pray. Because most people giving their testimony and going to sleep, amen. What if we would pray all night? Being that, amen, we are the temple of the living God. We are the church, glory be to God, and we are to pray without ceasing. And beloved, if we would open up the lines or we would take a survey, we wouldn't be surprised to hear some of the stuff that's going on in the church houses. That's why folks are not interested about coming to church. You're going to give a 10-minute sermon, but you're going to beg for an offering for 20 minutes? I've seen some churches where they sat there and talked about the offering and trying to fool and trick the people, amen, connive the people to give the money, to talk about for 30 minutes on the money and gave a 5-minute message. And y'all know I'm telling the truth. Then we wonder why the visitors don't want to come to church, why they don't want to come to church. All this foolishness. All this carnality. God is not being glorified. Jesus is not being lifted up. It's just a place. It's a social event. People go to church for social events. To meet somebody. To cut a business deal. Huh? Well, Jesus became angry. He threw him out the first time. He threw him out the second time. Beloved, don't let Jesus do it again. Don't let Jesus evict you from the church. Don't get God angry and get thrown out the church because you are going to church for the wrong reasons. Well, here go Jesus. Jesus said, all right. They saw Jesus in raw form. Jesus wasn't healing nobody. He wasn't spitting on nobody eyes right about here. He wasn't feeding 5,000 with that two-piece fish dinner here. They saw another side of Jesus. Huh? But this is what happened, beloved. This is all working up, amen, to his journey to Calvary. Everything divinely orchestrated. Because we read here in verse number 18 in our same chapter, and I close on this note. This was the final straw. Okay, wait a minute. Wait, number 18, let me read it for you first. If those of you can follow me or write it down. Okay. Okay, Mark chapter 11. Let's look at verse 18. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this. After Jesus, you know, did what he did. And they began looking for a way to kill him. For they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out the city. Woo! Okay, here you go. Jesus on the way to the cross. Because when Jesus, amen, did this, beloved, people were amazed. People respected him. Oh, people are going to respect you when you do the right thing. Some going to respect you. See, your boldness, your righteous indignation, your love for truth. See, even though it might not be right popular, amen, but some people are going to respect you. They started, amen, fearing Jesus, and he was drawing more people towards him because of his righteous indignation. The Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And they saw how bold Jesus was to stand up against the big money. That's like you walk into a room with a whole bunch of millionaires and billionaires, you know what I mean? And you're not even moved by it. Jesus was standing up against the people of high influence, the influencers who had money and clout. And Jesus ain't give a darn. But what happened here, as we just read in our scriptures, this was the final straw for the high priests and the scribes. Because after this incident, when Jesus threw everybody out, they conspired some way to kill him. Everybody ain't going to like you when you're doing right, baby. Nah, if you're trying to win friends and influence people, let me tell you right now, glory, that's why so many people turn crooked. That's why so many people, amen, do things they shouldn't do, because when you do the right thing, see, glory be to God, when you put the truth to the power and all that other stuff, let me tell you something, the crowd don't necessarily go with you. When you stand up for Jesus, amen, you may have the fewest friends. When you stand up for truth, you may find yourself, so you're standing by yourself. See, and instead of them applauding Jesus and saying, you know what? Yeah, that's right, because, you know, it was ridiculous how much they was charged. It was ridiculous. No, they said, we're going to kill him. Why? Because he interfering with my business. Now, that Jesus messing with my money now. Isn't that something? Now, we know some people will kill people over money. Here, they just talking about killing God over money. They said, Jesus interfering with my money now. Oh, Jesus interfering. Oh, he interfering with my business now. I need my business. And they conspired to kill him. That was the final straw. Hallelujah. And that was the second day after Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And he still got two more days to go. Well, beloved, let me tell you this. Amen, hallelujah. Jesus said, no man takes my life. They was conspiring to kill him, but they don't know that they was working, hallelujah, in the palm of God's hands. They didn't know, hallelujah, glory be to God. God already knew what they was going to do before they did it, and God had already made a way. Oh, glory be to God, hallelujah. Jesus was just fulfilling the will of God and the purposes of God. He was settling everything that needed to be settled and doing everything that needed to be done, because he knew that Friday morning was just around the corner. He was counting down. He said, three more days to go. Glory be to God, if I can get through Wednesday and I can get through Thursday. Jesus knew, glory be to God, hallelujah, that crucial hour on Friday was coming.
He said, this is why I came. Now, oh, glory be to God. I was born to die. Oh, this is my destiny. Hallelujah. But he was putting business in order. Oh, the Satan's putting his house in order. Your house in order. My house in order. Because he knew, hallelujah, that he only had a couple days left. Beloved, let me ask you a question today. Is your house in order? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because day, nighttime cometh when no man can work. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let us stay focused on the things that matter. Oh, glory be to God. Brother Paul said this. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I press forward. Glory be to God. Looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Looking unto that prize. Jesus is the prize. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the victory. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be so sold out on these temporal, carnal things that fade away. No. Hallelujah. But I'm going in for that eternal prize. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Don't try to stop me. Don't try to block me. I'm on my way. If you don't want to go, that's on you. But don't try to slow me down. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Beloved, let us seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. Let's keep first things first. Hallelujah. And don't get evicted from the church. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We magnify you. We thank you for the word. We thank you for those last steps that Jesus made on planet earth. Oh, Father God, we saw how Jesus was putting stuff in order. Oh, Father God, dealt with the fig tree, dealt with the merchants at the church. Oh, Father God, hallelujah. And tomorrow we'll see what was next. Glory be to God, but Jesus was going somewhere. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. And we thank you that you sent him. That you so loved the world, that you gave your only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your gospel plan, the plan of salvation, how you map this thing out before the foundation of the world. Thank you, God. Now help us not to get caught up in the rigmarole. Help us not to get caught up, Father. Oh, good, but to stay focused on the things that matter in your kingdom. And we bless you, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we glorify your name forever. Father God, we seal this prayer by the word, by the blood, by the spirit. Hallelujah. We bind every spirit of retaliation. Oh, we nullify it. We cancel it. We destroy it in Jesus' name. Father God, as we go out today, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. Oh, God. Cancel bad news, cancel tears, cancel sorrow, cancel premature death. No, God, may it not take root, may it not prosper, may it not come to pass. Bless the prayer warriors today as they come to serve, anoint them with power to break the yokes and open the prison doors in Jesus' name. And we say thank you. And we bless you. Hallelujah. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present your faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forevermore. And the church said, amen, amen, and amen. Satan is defeated, darkness is dispelled, and Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of Lords. Amen. I love you. Love you, love you, love you. Amen. Happy Holy Week. Amen to each and every one of you. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And have a wonderful, 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 wonderful day. Pastor Alfreda signing out. Amen and amen.
Make the darkness light before thee. What is wrong? I'll make it right before thee. All your battles I will fight before thee. High place, God said, I'll bring down with an everlasting love. I'll love thee and with trial. Deep and sore, I'll prove thee. There is nothing that can hurt or move thee, and the high place, God said, I. Walkest by the way, he said, I'll lead thee, and on the fatness of the land, I'll feed thee, and a mansion in the sky, I'll be. And the high place, God said, I'd bring down. Although Satan in his rage would tear thee, and with all his winning arts would snare thee, even down to thine old age, I'll bear thee. Hey, and the high place, God said, I'll bring down when thou walkest by the way. He said, I'll lead thee, and on the fatness of the land, and a mansion in the sky, I'll deed thee, and the high place, God said, I'll bring down. He said, I'll leave thee and on the fatness of the land, I'll feed thee. And one of these old mornings, a mansion in the sky, I'll be thee. And the high place, and the high place, and the high place, God said I'll bring down.